Good afternoon. You're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford Tufts University Radio. This is JumboCast Radio, Tufts Sports Broadcasting Club's bi-weekly hour of radio. Is it bi-weekly or?
Bi-weekly.
That's what the term is? Yeah. I always mix up like twice a week versus every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. No, every 2 weeks is bi-weekly. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to move a mic over to you?
Every 2 weeks is bi-weekly. Yeah. I haven't been in the studio for so... This is my first time in here all semester, actually.
Oh, really?
So give me a break. Yeah. I'm still rusty.
All right. We got a full crew in today. I'm Charlie. I'm one of the JumboCast members. We're just going to go around the room, starting with Trevor.
All right. I'm Trevor. I'm the technical director, and glad to be here.
My name's Lucas. I don't really know. I'm kind of a jack of all trades at this point, but
official title.
I'm Owen. I am the I'm the general manager. So I actually run the club.
Oh, and you get that big promotion. And then we have a non-JumboCast, well, ex-JumboCast guest as well. YJ.
There's no such thing.
JumboCast for life.
Once in, never out.
Hi everyone. I'm YJ. Used to do JumboCast. It's nice to be back here in the radio booth. It's my first time here.
YJ, what's your sort of qualifications? Why have we brought you in here today?
Well, I cover obviously a lot of sports teams for the Tufts Daily, but some might say it's because of my close connection with you, Charlie, that I'm here today.
Oh yeah.
It's nepotism.
YJ is Carla Berube's favorite student. That includes her basketball players.
YJ is also rocking shorts today. I just want everybody to know that.
YJ, what's your how do you decide when to rock shorts? You rock the shorts a lot, like almost year round.
When I'm running late. I grab the first pair of things I see.
Do you just have shorts by the door? So you're like on your way out the door and just grabbing a pair of shorts.
I hate to admit it, but that's true. That's probably what it is.
Charlie, can I request a song to play?
Yes, you can.
Sort of an intro.
Let me just set this on up.
Can you play the we're playing basketball song? Because I feel like that would be a good prelude to what we're talking about.
Who's that by?
I don't know. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
Vaguely.
We're playing basketball. Isn't it just called We're Playing Basketball?
Are you thinking of the Fergie National Anthem?
I just searched on Spotify and there's nothing that says
Curtis
We're
Blow.
Playing basketball. Is it Curtis Blow?
Looks like it.
Let me see.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Lucas? You know what
is
I'm
it
talking
just
about.
Called basketball?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're gonna listen to that, and then we'll sort of get our things in order and get on back to you. So stick with us for more sports talk. But right now, here's some sports music.
They're playing basketball. Yeah. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
Here comes the best. Simpson's on the scene, and Ralph Simpson is really mean. Bill Russell didn't take no jump, and Dow Dawkins got a monster dunk. To the hoop, y'all. Yes. Ha ho! Here I go. Face. Watch me. Deal, deal, deal. You can't check me, man. Get on down. Oh, yeah, I like this basketball. Deal. Now, here I go. In your face. Swish. Were you in the jump? The night Wolves scored 100 points. Or when the Celtics won titles back to back and didn't give nobody no kind of slack. Or when Dr. J shook the whole damn team with moves that came right out of a dream. Or when Willis Reed stood so tall playing deep with desire. Yes, basketball. A lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all. Cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
Man, did you see that boy Pearl the other night take that thing up in Ewan's face? Yeah, he's bad, but I like Michael Jordan, man. Oh, do y'all remember the old days, though? The old days of the record with Dr. J used to take the whole team, boy.
Oh, man. Still Jordan.
Yeah. Man, used to burn him. I saw him burn Cassie Russell one night, man. It was embarrassing.
Hey, y'all see Burn Our Team, man?
Oh, Bernard King is my man. I like the Knicks. The Knicks play ball, baby.
Oh, they can play that ball. Bill Russell was the man.
Yeah, but we'll get to take him, man. We'll.
Man, with Russell, had the championship rings. We'll just get them points. That's all he ever had.
Right, that was Curtis Blow with his song Basketball, which is about the NFL.
Name drops.
None of us realized that song was going to be six and a half minutes long.
Wow. Yeah, if you're still with us at this point.
I'm imagining that's like just come out, right? Where it's like the late 1980s, probably. That's my guess. Like we're just, you know, a bunch of dudes at a club. Curtis Blow's Basketball comes on, just whole place goes berserk.
I think the best line has to be
84.
Were you in the joint when Wilt scored 100 points?
It's also not like a single, though. This is off of a 7-track album. It's in the middle of his 7-track album, Ego Trip.
Also, I just want to point out that Bow Wow did a cover of this in 2002, and it's a real shame that we didn't play that.
Oh, well, that's what we're going to play at the break.
Audience can decide which one is truly the voice of the basketball.
Call in with your opinions.
Oh, it was for the movie music from the motion picture Like Mike. Also on that soundtrack, you have more Bow Wow. You actually have some Solange on that. You have a Nas track.
That was an unreal movie.
Have you seen it?
That movie, dude. You haven't seen Like
great,
Mike?
Great track on that called NBA 2K2. Which we will also.
I can't believe you haven't
later.
Seen Like Mike, dude. The music gets Michael Jordan's sneakers and becomes it's Lil Bow Wow that is the main actor in that.
Yeah, that's actually that was the plot of Zion Williamson's injury as well.
Oh boy.
Nice. You got the wrong sneakers.
Anyways.
Okay, so we're going to, again, if you want to call in with a men's or women's basketball Tufts hot take, our number is 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. You can also find that number on WMFO.org.
That's the Subway fresh take hot take WMFO hotline.
We the board is just lighting up right now, so we're excited to hear your takes as we get into talking about the women's basketball team, probably Tufts' best current sports team in season, number 6 in the NCAA rankings right now, and heading into a second round matchup that's going to be against longtime rivals and longtime winning team, Amherst Mammoths, who beat Tufts earlier in the season in what was very much an uncompetitive performance, or an uncompetitive game that Amherst sort of walked away with. But let's actually take a step back and look first at the first round game in the NESCAC Championships, which was a win against the Williams Eaves. YJ, you were at that game. Mm-hmm. You wrote it up. You want to tell us a little summary of that game there?
Well, it was close for maybe like 2 minutes. and you know, I have the greatest respect for, you know, Coach Pat Manning, and they have a great team, you know, with two of their, well, mm-hmm. two of their sophomore guards who basically played the whole game. But, you know, it was back and forth for like 2 minutes, and then Tufts just really managed to just, you know, play some good defense and then shut them out on the
final
floor there.
Final score there, 75-51, Tufts win over the 11-14 Williams Eaves. Their season ends there. Probably not going to get an at-large bid with that. Yeah, and as you were saying, like that first quarter, I'm looking at the score here, 31-14 Tufts.
Mm-hmm.
So that game essentially over before it began.
Yep.
And even though the next quarter was an 11-9 score, a scintillating period of basketball. It didn't really matter.
Well, but that's exactly
that
how
was
Coach
we,
Berube
yeah,
wants
and that was
it.
What
yeah.
we expected, right?
Yeah. You know, she's someone who likes to, you know, play better defense first, you know. Mm-hmm. Good, and she always says, you know, good defense fuels good offense, and she'll take an 11-9 any day, as long as, you know, as long as the win, you know, it comes out in the win column for her team at the end of the day.
Yep. We're gonna play a quick game, quick quiz game. I need like some song, like some stingers here for when I like quiz question. All right, that game, Williams Eaves, number of bench points. Trevor, how many?
0. I was actually just about to say that stat before you started the quiz. I remember I was actually doing production on this game, and I was getting like, I designated someone to be like the stat guy. I was like, oh, bring me random stats throughout the game. And then he should like draw it. He was like, I was like, oh, you know, I'm curious, what are the bench points? He drew it up, and then I saw a big fat 0 next to Tufts' 19, and I could not believe that. And then I still can't believe they didn't score after that stat went up. So, but yeah, nothing out of any of the subs.
Yeah.
And most of the starters, for that matter, for the Eaves. Only Maggie Behan and Michaela Topper did anything.
I mean, is this an Eaves team that just doesn't play its bench players? I'm looking at the stats now, and the answer is no. Maddie Mandick played 15 minutes of that game.
Yeah, the bench played, and the bench has been scoring throughout the season. Like, I brought this up. I was doing sideline reporting, and I brought this up before game and kind of ended up looking like an idiot, but I was like, the player Emily Chang, like, has... Mm-hmm. Maybe Lucas, you can. I don't remember how much points per game she had, but she shoots like 42% from three. Like, she's a good mm-hmm. player, and didn't score any points. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah, and I mean, this was always sort of a precursor to what's going to happen this weekend. An upset was very much something that I don't think anyone was expecting going into it. And this has always been the traditional script of the NESCAC over the last 4 years: is that Tufts makes it into the tournament because they're always going to make it into the tournament. Gets through the first round, and then they have to play one of the more powerhouse teams. And I think that's enough talk, really, about the Williams game, because what the big matchup here is obviously this NESCAC semifinal, which is coming up tomorrow. That's going to be up in Maine at Bowdoin. Bowdoin, the number one team in the nation, has home field or home court advantage for that. But Tufts is first going to have to break through Amherst and win against the Purple, win against the Mammoths for the first time since 2016. And that doesn't look like something that's going to be nearly as easy as this game against Williams.
When was the last time they won?
I believe it was February of 2016. I want to say February 26th. They played...
I was in high school.
They played Amherst, I believe, seven times since then, including in the last two championship games, NCAA championship games.
Right.
And they've just been unable to beat Amherst. And we saw that also at the... saw that with the game most recently against Tufts, where Amherst just plays a style of woman defense that is just absolutely shuts down everything Tufts tries to do.
Yep. Well, I think in that game it was, you know, there are a couple of things that could have gone both ways, right? I mean, it was the scoreline is a 10-point victory, but you know, Tufts found their way into paint and just couldn't make those easy baskets that you expect them to make all the time, and then Amherst was just making some kind of crazy shots that...
Yeah, and also taking advantage of some less-than-stellar refereeing.
Yeah, was that our Francis?
Yeah, that was when a little bit of homerism came out from the JumboCast crew, but...
To be fair, though, I mean, Tufts, as you mentioned, they haven't beaten this Amherst team in, 3 years now, and they've certainly seen them a decent amount of time, specifically in NCAAs especially. They should certainly be playing with a chip on their shoulder. And when you look at this matchup between these two teams earlier this month, Tufts only shot 21.8%, and as we just mentioned, Amherst known for their defense. But, you know, that's one thing where even if you just are able to knock down, you know, two or three more shots, mm-hmm. and then you're still in the game, you know, down the stretch, that totally changes, like, yep. the momentum, the confidence, so...
Yeah, and that got decided essentially in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Yep. Tufts had done really well. They were down 12-7 after the first quarter in that game in February, February 1st. They were down 12-7. They came back. They kept it, sort of did damage control, and went into the half down 4. Yep. And then the third quarter, Amherst scored 20 points. Yeah, and Tufts
I didn't notice this when I was watching the game, but it looks like Amherst only used two reserves all game.
Yeah,
looks like their starters basically played. Their starters played 39 or more minutes.
Part of that was that Megan Sullivan, one of the guards, she wasn't traditionally a point scorer, and she actually mm-hmm. really carried the team. The only reason that they were using subs in the first place was because two of their best players, Madeline Eck and I'm forgetting the name of the other one, but they both got three personals in the first half, and so it was sort of foul limitation as a strategy for substitution. And also the way Amherst plays and the way Tufts plays is it's not constant fast breaks. It's not really, really high-paced basketball. It's all about defense and making sure you can't get the ball out. And a lot of, the shot clock just consistently taken down. But so it's probably going to be... It's going to be interesting because at this point, if you're Tufts, right, you're going into this game against Amherst, you can't beat Amherst. You've been trying again and again and again, and it's just not happening at all. And the question now for Carla Berube, right, and YJ, this is probably something you can speak to mm-hmm. as well as any of us, is, do you try and do anything differently? Do you change the strategy? Because it's not worked. It's consistently not worked. But also, how much are you willing to alter your style of play?
You know, I will say this. You know, this season has been a very different season than, you know, years past. You know, in the start of the season, Tufts was playing, you know, high scoring offense. They're putting up 70, 80 points easily a game. So there's one thing to look out for. But, you know, when it comes to Amherst, I somehow think that when the third quarter comes around, you know, they keep it close for two quarters, and then when the third quarter comes around, they just somehow struggle to contain Amherst in that third quarter. And you know that, and I will go back to that 50-40 game. They weren't playing bad basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It was just missing one or two shots, and you know that's how cruel the game is. So I don't think there's a right answer to that question about, you know, should they change things up, because It's not easy, and thankfully I'm not the one being paid to make that decision.
I mean, just kind of, I guess you've covered this kind of the team for a decent amount of time. Oh.
Oh. We have a caller. Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to let's take a pause and we'll answer this phone call and then we'll be back after basketball.
Sounds good.
All right, stay with us.
Around the world, to the beach, y'all. Let's go. All around the world, y'all know this is so, so dead. To the beach, y'all.
My favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. I keep it so fresh on the microphone. I like no interruption when the game is on. I like slam dunk to take me to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley-oop. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go. And it's basketball. Bow wow, let's go.
All around the world. Yeah, to the beach, y'all.
In my hands, ain't no telling what I'm gonna do with it. When okay. I got possession, I'ma act a fool with it. I might cross you up and fake one way. Turn around and hit you with the MJ fadeaway. I'm throwing down passes like J. Kidd, taking cats to the rack, and I'm dunking on them like C-Mac. When I'm in the plane, I play with that Alonzo style. I'm like Darius, cause I can
shoot. Don't too many players get offers like me. I'm back and forth, I likely shake the checks off your Nikes. Okay. They almost had me in a suit at the draft, cause it looked like a free throw, when I be shooting from half. The first step like Iverson, blow past you. Usually nothing but net, but I could go blast too. When I'm in the paint, the defense so shook, they don't know if I'ma put up a slow hook or dish off a no look. Yeah. To draw the lane would be dumb, no, cause I send it back at you, then give you the finger like a tumble. Shorty, over the summer, you might have boosted an inch, but as long as Fabulous is playing, get used to the bench. And see, my game consists of a whole lot of moves you would think I learned from the Harlem Globetrotters. JD gon' lead us to a ring. Fab and Bow Wow's the only players that make cheerleaders wanna sing. Yeah, put it up. Put it up, put it up, put it up now. Put it up, put it up, put it up now. Put it up, put it up, put it up now.
Were you in the joint the night MJ scored 63 points when the Lakers won titles back to back? Didn't give nobody no kind of slack. When Vince Carter came, stuck his arm in the rim, everybody went crazy in the whole damn gym. Dikembe Mutombo standing tall, playing D with desire. It's basketball, sing.
Welcome back.
We're back after what turned out to be a ghost caller.
Maybe it was the guy calling us.
It might have been someone. Again, if you want to call in for real and give us a take, 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. We won't be as dismissive as Mike Francesa, I promise.
here's something I've been thinking about.
Okay.
Who has the numbers on how many of these Amherst Tufts games have been at neutral sites? Because that's something
we can figure that out. So at least two of the last ones have been at neutral sites because of the national championships.
Okay, never mind.
Wasn't last year?
I thought last year was at
Amherst.
That
was the Bowdoin one where we lost to Bowdoin by 20, I think.
Oh.
I think it was the 2 years prior to that.
No, that was in the NESCAC. And last year we actually beat Bowdoin in the NESCAC 49-44 and then lost 41-37 to Amherst. 41-37, a classic basketball score.
That's a basketball number.
But then in the NCAA championship game, Tufts lost to Amherst 52-29 in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I remember that game. I was
in Grand Rapids?
Yeah, I was having dinner in Oakland with my friend. Because, you know, I was a beat writer for the for the team at that point. And it's like, oh, damn it, you know, 4-point defeat, you know, 1-point victory, all those kinds. And I pull up that game on my phone. Like, oh, Christ. That was
It's one of those things. I mean, Amherst, again, it's just their game plan the way they play works brilliantly against the Janumba's team because they're so good at defending shots.
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt here. I was so YG, you've covered this team for a while, basically. How much of this, also, this might be kind of a simplistic approach to it, but in my time at Tufts, at least, I have not seen the Jumbos be able to shoot well. How much of that could be part of that, do you think? Just general
shoot well, just in general,
making shots, the art of making shots, like even like open looks or semi-contested looks.
You know, I think it varies game to game, and I don't think it's a simple answer to that. But obviously, when they got going as they did in that first quarter against Williams, I mean, 31 points in one quarter is, you hardly see that in NESCAC basketball. So when they obviously have the ability to do it, but I think there's some truth to that idea that, you know, if they're not making shots, it's tough, especially, you know, in the last few games against Amherst, they just haven't been able to make some of their shots. I mean, what the stat that Charlie brought up just now was 21% that they shot in that game against Amherst.
That's insane.
That's
2 for 12 from deep. I think looking here, Jack Knapp went 2 for 10 and Erica DeCandido went 1 for 10. Emily Briggs went 1 for 11.
I mean, some of those were situations where they just got unlucky. There was a lot of just unlucky bounces on the rim. But also, they had essentially no open looks throughout the game.
No.
I think they had one or two, and they missed both of them. And when they were pressured, they couldn't come off with a shot, or they didn't attempt a contested shot. There seemed to be a hesitance to take a risky shot, which I don't know if it comes from Berube or not. But that may have been that was a moment where I was looking at it and they were letting the shot clock expire and not really, even once the game in the third quarter looked to be getting out of hand, there was no attempt to sort of just, okay, let's take risks. If we're not going to get any open looks, we might as well take a contested shot if we think that there's like a 50-50 chance. But there was sort of a caution.
I mean, at that point, yeah, I think, but there's also the idea of like, you know, you want to, you know, I remember, well, this is the men's basketball game, one of the early season games, I think last in December, and they were the opponent team, I can't remember which team it was, and they were scoring, and the men's team just kept, and they were trailing further and further behind, and they just kept taking shots, and they weren't making that, and then the other team just kept going down and making their baskets. Mm-hmm. So I think the women's basketball team, and I think this is where credit should go to, you know, how Coach Berube prepares her team, you know, just stick to a philosophy. Don't rush it if there's nothing open, you know, and I think there's credit, there's merit to the idea that, you know, you want to take some of these risks, but, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you fall further behind.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's fair. It's going to be one that we're going to have to watch. I think we're going to transition into some other topics here. Again, that game is tomorrow at 2 p.m. There's probably, I think you can get a video for it on the Tufts Athletics website. We're not going to cover it because it's in Maine.
Get the van, go up.
Fire up the van.
The van is going to make it as far as
as we can throw it.
Yeah. We're gonna wind up just broken down somewhere in Salem. it's definitely a game to watch. If they win that game, I think they play on Sunday.
Yep. Yeah.
In the championship. But at the very least, you would expect that this is a team that's going to get an at-large bid if they don't win. If they win, they're guaranteed a bid into the NCAA championships, which will take place in a couple of weeks.
Probably hosting duties.
Right? You would think they would host. It all depends. I think part of the Tufts is a site that they like to host at. Mm-hmm. If you're the NCAA. Tufts is, even if they lose, they're probably not going to slip out of the top 10, so they'd probably get first round hosting. Wouldn't expect second round hosting, given the fact that Amherst and Bowdoin are higher ranked teams in the same geographic area.
Yeah.
Yeah. The D3 rankings came out this morning, the updated ones.
Oh, really?
And number one is Bowdoin, number two is Amherst, number three is Tufts in the country. So you
really?
Those are all virtual locks. Yeah.
Yeah.
For D3?
Yeah.
I think that's the regional rankings.
Regional rankings, yeah.
Yeah, so you would expect they would all host.
Oh, that's regional. So
first round games.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
Either way, yeah.
But in some sense, that says a lot, because if you look at the D3 hoops ranking, I mean, Bowdoin's 1, Amherst 4 and Tufts is 6, and you just have 3 really solid programs in NESCAC.
I mean, and the fact is, if they weren't playing each other, they'd all have a shout in for the top 3. It's because they're in the same conference that actually mm-hmm. makes it harder
yeah.
to
yeah.
hold on to those top rankings, because you're going to pick up some losses as the season goes on.
Exactly. What is Trine? Who's Trine?
Trine? Like T-R-I-N-E?
Trine Thunder are 4th in the nation, or 5th in the nation, excuse me.
Let's look them up. This is
Angola, Indiana.
This is your recurring segment on JumboCast Radio of let's talk about these colleges that no one has ever heard of.
And if there's anyone, you know, tuning in from Angola, Indiana, we apologize.
On December 29th, they lost to Transylvania. I'm not quite sure.
Isn't Transylvania also nationally ranked?
There's this beautiful.
I feel like I've gone over these rankings.
I thought that's where Dracula was from.
I love the beautiful part of Middle America where literally they just picked whatever name they wanted for the town. I'm reading a book by Bill Bryson right now where he like travels through Middle America, and he's talking about how he stopped over in like Cairo, Illinois, which is like in southern Illinois, but they all pronounce it Cairo, and he was like. He talked to a guy at a gas station when he stopped for gas, and he was like, why is it pronounced Cairo? And the guy's like, because it's Cairo, Illinois. And he's like, you know, in Egypt, the one's called Cairo. And it's like, okay.
So Transylvania is in Lexington, Kentucky. It has 963 students. The mascot is Raph, the Raphinesque's big-eared bat.
What?
But the nickname is the Pioneers. So the mascot is a bat, but the name is the Pioneers. And they're also known as Transy.
Trine University, formerly known as Tri-State University, is located in Angola, Indiana, founded in 1884. It has 2 campuses across northern and central Indiana, and a total of 5,100 students.
It's big.
Let's look at this notable alumni list. I have not heard of any of these people. we have number 1 on the list. Oh, is
19th president of Columbia. That's
Ralph Kettner graduated from Trine University in 1957. He went on to found Food Town Supermarket, which would become Food Lion. If anyone's been to Maryland, that's the main supermarket chain in the Delmarva Peninsula.
How do you know that?
Because I went to Maryland on vacation once, and there were a bunch of Food Lions. They're like okay supermarkets.
Oh my gosh.
They also have Isabel French, the national president of the Society of Women Engineers. Do you still have the Transylvania page open?
I don't, but I can pull it up.
I got it. Okay. Let's figure out these notable alumni. Private University Lexington, Kentucky. 1780, actually.
Wow, that's old.
Its name means beyond the woods in Latin, and it was called that because it was founded in the heavily forested region of western Virginia known as Transylvania Colony, which became most of Kentucky in 1792. Wow, it actually has... Transylvania is the alma mater of 2 U.S. vice presidents, 2 U.S. Supreme Court justices, 50 U.S. senators, 101 U.S. representatives, 36 U.S. governors, the 1 Confederate president, and 34 U.S. ambassadors, making it a large producer of U.S. statesmen.
Jefferson Davis, an alumni of Transylvania?
He is indeed.
Wow. Okay, well,
you also have Stephen. Wow. Joke. Also Stephen F. Austin, who founded Texas.
Oh yeah, and there's Stephen F. Austin University.
John C. Breckinridge, who was the Secretary of War of the Confederate States of America, and a U.S. Vice President. Let's see. Yeah, Jefferson Davis. Who else? John E. Fryer, who was a heavy subject of a very interesting Radiolab episode, because he gave an anonymous speech at the 1972 American Psychiatric Association annual conference where he appeared in disguise and with like a vocal like transmorpher to give a speech promoting like talking about homosexual psychiatrists to get the APA to delist being gay as a mental disorder.
Good stuff. Good cool. job, Transylvania University.
You have another Confederate general. Another Confederate general.
I remove my previous statement.
You have George Shannon, member of the Lewis and Clark expedition. You have George Graham Vest, who was a U.S. senator from Missouri and a Confederate senator. You have James S. Rollins, the father of the University of Missouri. You also have professional soccer player Kyle Smith, who plays for Orlando City.
Well, hey, that's my while we're talking segment. About D3 teams, we should probably acknowledge the other undefeated team in the country here, Thomas More.
Yeah, Thomas More.
I'm not going to go through their list of alumni.
Oh, but I will.
I don't think we can top Transylvania, but they do have one common opponent with Tufts, which was Wesleyan, who they destroyed 85-49 on December 19th.
You see that?
That is also a good team.
Convincing. They actually have a long history of producing NBA basketball players. Two of them went to Thomas More.
Wow, that's a long history.
That would be Rick Hughes, who actually was the 2004 and 2011 highest scorer in the French Professional Basketball League, and Larry Staverman, who was drafted in the ninth round of the 1958 NBA draft by the Cincinnati Royals and had a 5-year career.
Nice. 1958.
The ninth round of the NBA draft.
Throw back to the good times.
Yeah.
Imagine if they had 9 rounds today in the NBA draft.
The most popular artist was Elvis.
I would, if they had 9 rounds, I would genuinely watch all 9. Probably.
You would have to expand the rosters. You would have to rethink the game of basketball. Have it be 11
on
11
players on each side.
Yeah,
you'd have to have like 3 tiers of what they do in baseball. Basically, you'd have to have 3 tiers of the G League.
Or you start playing basketball on a soccer field. It's essentially a soccer or football field sized court.
With trash cans.
There's still one basket. It's the same.
But it's massive.
Just,
it's
the
huge.
Transition play is very long. The full court press is really a lot to do. All right. Do you want to take a break with some music, or do you want to talk? I know you want to talk about something specific.
Well, I'm feeling the momentum. I think we can roll right into D3 men's basketball.
All right, let's talk about D3 men's basketball then. Tufts men's basketball, we were all swearing them off. We were all like, oh, their season's done. It's been a transitional year. They're still under 500 on their record, but they sneaked in on a tiebreaker to the NESCAC tournament, and they only went and knocked out Middlebury, the top seed.
Yeah, the first time in the 19-year history of the NESCAC tournament that an 8-seed beat a 1-seed. Mm. Although I will say, in defense of our good friend Lucas Pyle, who may or may not be listening, it was a weird situation for the 1-seed this year because there were 3 teams at 7-3, and Middlebury happened to get the 1-seed due to some tiebreakers and some other stuff like that. Not to say they weren't deserving, but the talent in the men's NESCAC is very spread out at the top, and we being Tufts will be playing another 7-3 team tomorrow, which I believe is Hamilton.
No, that is Hamilton. That'll be taking place again, tomorrow. This was the second win of the season for Middlebury, for Tufts over Middlebury, actually. And it improves them to 12-13 on this season. Middlebury falls to 18-7, and we'll have to see if they get an at-large berth.
Well, they're out of the top 25, Middlebury, at the loss. So not looking too likely.
Yeah. So the game, no team led by more than 5 points for the first 39 minutes of the game, and then down by 1, score 72-71, with 4 minutes and 8 seconds remaining, Tufts started pulling away. Middlebury only scored 5 more points for the rest of the game. Tufts scored 13, so a 13-5 run to close out the game and give Tufts an historic upset in the NESCAC championship. And again, I think this is a season, we've been talking about this again and again and again, but this is a season where for the men's basketball team there have been a lot of positive moments and a lot of moments where the team's heavy youth really shows.
Yeah.
But I think it's something where you can definitely take things away going into the game tomorrow and maybe a game after that, you never know. And build on it for next season with the players having more experience.
Yeah, especially at this point, you know, these young guys realize they have nothing to lose. Like, no one expects them to be here, so I think they're not really playing with too much pressure or anything like that. They're just going to kind of, you know, let it fly and see how far they can really go with this kind of improbable run.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can kind of look at the one of the defining moments of the season, I think, for the men's basketball team, you know, was when they beat 25th-ranked Wesleyan, when probably no one, even at the stadium or them themselves, thought they would they would do. And they jumped out to a 20-point lead at halftime, I think. And then they promptly blew that 20-point lead, but then came back to win the game. But still.
Hey, two comebacks in one game.
This is two ranked teams the Tufts has upset. So, and I think, you know, you're saying this is a transitional year. I think only Eric Savage is in the starting lineup and is technically considered an upperclassman.
Yeah, he's a junior. There's one senior on the team, Brian Creonte. He's a walk-on. So you're going to have Savage coming back as a senior. He scored 19 points in this game and actually pulled in with a double-double with 10 rebounds. Also led the team in assists with 3. Yeah, and it's Jumbo's shot 45.8 from the field in that game. That was probably the thing that put them over the top. Middlebury only shot 38.7. And Middlebury actually shut Tufts down heavily on points off of turnovers. Tufts got 10 turnovers off of mid and only were able to convert that into 5 points. But their superior shooting really carried the day.
I know the attendance numbers are sometimes inflated on the websites, but it says 967 people were in attendance at this game.
Honestly, I can actually believe that.
You think there were 1,000 people at that game?
When you get hyped up for D3 basketball, like some campuses can get really hyped up. And Middlebury is a school that does support its sports and has a lot of support from people in the town, a.k.a. Lucas Pyle. And I mean, like, YJ, were you at the Tufts Amherst game our freshman year when the men made it to the Elite Eight? Because the Tufts lost in the Elite Eight to Amherst my freshman year. So going back 3 years now. And honestly, there were probably like at least 700 people in Cousins. Cousins was definitely over capacity. People were essentially, it was standing room only. And it was the loudest I've ever heard it. So when it gets to postseason play, colleges can actually fill up these large arenas.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to talk about postseason play. I mean, it was that Tufts Amherst game that I think that the arena was packed as
well. A couple hundred, but like when you get deep, people will pack in those arenas.
And one of my favorite things is that when I go to some of these games at night, well maybe not the playoffs, but I go to some of these games and I see like, you know, older people there and I go, "Oh, who are you here for?" And they're like, "Oh, we just, you know, live around, you know, George Street."
Some locals for a good game.
Some locals also have their kids play on the team and then their kids graduate, but they stick with the team. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's sort of interesting the support that D3 college sports receive. Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna transition into another song off the Like Mike soundtrack, and then maybe pull away to some larger sports issues and things like that to close out the last 50 minutes of the show.
We got to do a PSA too.
Yeah, we're gonna hit up a PSA after this beautiful, beautiful track from the music from the motion picture Like Mike. This is NBA 2K2 by ROC.
This is NBA 2K2. So
I got the rock, I'm bringing it down. So you better watch the clock, I'm scoring any second now. You can't trap me and you can't get at me. Please don't even reach, cause the crossover nasty. You see how I pick and roll, then I spin on them. And no look down low, alley-oop. To hurry up and get back on the D, cause I'm not about to let the same thing happen to me. Still, shot blocks, rejections. Hand check, bad passes, deflection. Fast break in the opposite direction. Coming down with the 2-on-1. Look out, oh, swing the ball out to the wing. The game in the clutch, so I pull a tray up. That's all day, you can't stop my J. This NBA 2K2, let's play. Come on. You can't guard me, you can't stick me. You can't hold me, you can't get me. All day my J is on, and all day my game is on. You can't guard me, you can't stick me. You can't hold me, you can't get me. All day my J is on, and all day my game is on.
Fast breaker, playmaker, up a dunk or layup. We run the game, 23 won't play us. It's zone D, IV couldn't J us. We couldn't get back down by the Lakers. We set traps, y'all ballers can't break us. Start with the head faker, then I take a future Hall of Famer. Too many moves, you reach and you lose.
Is this the shoes?
The shoes?
It gotta be the shoes.
The
crowd are screaming amazement. Run around the screen, hit the shot while I'm fading. And one, I got the continuation. Give him a tech, man, he fouling me flagrant. I take him outside, take him inside. Top of the key, I take him to the baseline. To the left, cross, to the right.
Come on,
take flight, I'm doing this all night. Cause
you can't guard me, you can't stick me, you can't hold me, you can't get me. All day my J is on, and all day my game is on.
We're giving social media a makeover.
How many tries does it take to get the perfect photo?
The average girl spends 3 hours a day using social media.
48% of teens report feeling lonely and less confident in themselves after using social media.
After the iPhone release in 2007, the depression rate in teens spiked.
To learn how to make social media a more positive place, go to MediaGirls.org. Follow Media Girls on Instagram and use the hashtag MGMakeover.
That was our PSA for the day. Hashtag MGMakeover if you want to learn more about sort of promoting healthy online activity for girls. But back to sports. We're going to talk actually some swimming. Isn't that right, Trevor?
Yeah. So you'll remember last week or two weeks ago.
Yeah.
A fortnight ago, if you will.
Where are we dropping, boys?
I will not.
So we had a swimmer on, John Lalime, good friend of mine. And actually, another swimmer is in the booth with us, Mary Hufsiger. She actually broke a couple of records, and that was actually the theme for the Jumbos at the NESCAC Championships, as they kind of rolled their way to their best ever finish in NESCACs, which is second place. And this comes after last year's men's team won NESCAC. So I think possibly we could be seeing a new kind of powerhouse in tough sports realm, swimming, really getting great results here. And actually, another thing here, Amy Socha, she became the first Jumbo NESCAC event winner since 2014. So women's team had a phenomenal finish, and the men's team is right now currently in second place.
And this meet is ongoing, correct?
Yeah, so I think the relays were yesterday, and then they have individuals today, probably long distance stuff.
Yeah, and so that'll be something, I guess we're just teasing here, we don't have a ton of analysis for it, but we'll definitely revisit that and give you an update when we next do our show in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the women's, we were just talking about the tournament that they were up at last weekend. Williams won, and apparently Williams is like a legendary swimming program.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the best of all time.
Before, I think the men's team won last year, they had won 14 years in a row or something crazy like that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just good for them. I know we covered our first swim meet this semester, so dare I say it? Are we the good luck charm?
I don't know.
People are saying, people are talking. We might be the good luck charm.
Are you the people that's talking?
Yeah, I'm just saying. I've spoken to multiple callers while screening calls here, and people are saying
people
that.
People are saying. I mean,
yeah.
It's just a word on the street. But yeah, shout out to them because that's maybe not one of the more popular sports here, but definitely a one of the probably greatest achievements this semester.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's this semester for sure. It's not really up there with men's soccer just yet. But we'll have to see how that goes and keeps going, because I think if they get into good performance, they'll send some people to nationals, right?
Yeah, it says here a bunch of people actually got NCAA B cut, which means that they are going to be going to the NCAA tournament. So 19 swimmers from the women's team will be going to the NCAA tournament, which I believe is somewhere in the Midwest. Don't know where it is.
Traditionally, is somewhere random in the Midwest or Mid-Atlantic.
And actually, the coach, basically, Adam Hoyt, super nice guy, was very supportive when we tried to set up for the first swim meet. He was named NESCAC co-coach of the year for the women's program.
Nice.
So he is also a phenomenal coach. Adding to the ranks of coaches we have. Maybe not at Berube's level quite yet, but give him 15 or so years, maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Let's do a little bit of an informal PSA for those of you on the Tufts campus who haven't received a certain email from Tufts Technology Services. We're going to transition out of sports for a moment to discuss an email that we all just received from TTS Communications, that's Tufts Technology Services. Important security alert, email from President Monaco is a, all caps, scam.
A scandal.
None of us have received this email, right?
I never get the emails.
Well, every once in a while, for context for people who are listening who may not go to Tufts, every once in a while, all Tufts students receive an email saying that there is a scam. And no one ever really receives the email for the scam, except in the times when the scam was not a scam in the first place, like when they thought that the Dean's List notification was was a scam.
There's a reason why I didn't get that one.
well, you were abroad, so. But this one, Owen, do you want to do a dramatic reading of the email that some members of the Tufts community have received from President Anthony Monaco?
Yes. So this is going to be a dramatic reading, what I've called scam, but instead of all caps, this is going to be all low caps.
This is Owen.
When I take it to the stage, it's going to be
all
caps. This
is Owen's one-man show.
this is from Anthony Monaco, also known as president.5527 at gmail.com.
All right, first, I'm gonna read it. First point of contention, they probably could have found the email address president.monaco@gmail.com. I feel like that's probably not taken.
Yeah, that is, you're right. And this is the body text. No subject, but this is the body text. Hello, good morning, comma. I am stuck in a seminar right now. New line. Please, I need you to run an errand for me. Is this a haiku? This might be a haiku. New line. Kindly drop your cell phone number to send you a text message. Dr. Anthony Monaco, President, Tufts University.
Yeah, and Tufts Technology Services says what you should do, not respond or share any personal information, i.e. your cell phone.
I do have to say, if there's one thing to take
also,
away.
Also, the in please I need you to run an errand for me, that is all lowercase.
Oh, yes.
Including I.
If there's one thing, though, to take away from this scam email is that if Anthony Monaco just changed his like email signature just to say president and like nothing else, that would be pretty dope. Like President Tufts. Like that's it. That's all that I am. But other than that,
I just
this is a haiku, I think.
What do you think they were doing with the phone number?
That's a good question.
Like, what do you want to do with it?
They definitely did not get a phone number.
No, but like hypothetically, Trevor, if you were to be like, oh, Tony needs me.
I need to help Tony.
And so you give him the email. Well, you send his phone number over email so he can text you, because he needs to get in contact with you via text, obviously, because it's very important.
So yeah, I saw right through this, because as if Tufts hasn't already taken my phone number and sold it to a bunch of scam companies.
But I'm just wondering, like, what are they going to sign you up for? A bunch of text alert services.
I don't know.
That's actually
one time I got like a text saying like Bitcoin balance is like this. Click to receive. And I was like, where?
I've gotten some texts that I'll probably tell you guys off air because they're pretty good. But I've gotten scam texts before.
I got a wrong number one time that I'm pretty sure is a. It was like a guy texting his wife, and he's like, "Can you come out of the house? I'm outside. I want to talk to you." It was the most awkward texting of.
You could have had so much fun with that.
I honestly considered like going along with it, but then I was like, "This sounds like a serious marital issue here, and I really don't want to get in the middle of this."
I will say, Anthony Monaco, big JumboCast fan.
Yeah, Anthony Monaco, big Tufts basketball fan, big vest fan in general as well. He's a big supporter.
But to play the PSA side of this a little bit more, this email is obviously a scam. But if you do receive emails that are,
please do not send president.5527@gmail.com.
Owen is actually needs you to, if you're listening to the show, JumboCast needs you to pick up some stuff for us. So if you could send your phone number to jumbocast.55217@gmail.com, that'd be much appreciated.
Every little bit helps.
I don't think we have a comment of the week.
No, we don't really have a comment of the week. We have nothing. We haven't really. I think we need to do a better job of soliciting comments during our broadcast.
We have not gotten enough mean comments recently. Yeah. We'd like you to chime in with your mean comments.
Maybe we're just doing a great job.
No.
No.
No. No. I frankly don't believe that would be the case.
But I guess the newest update in the JumboCast lore is that there's a budgeting meeting tomorrow.
There is a budgeting meeting, and we have actually been doing some budget cuts. We've been making sure to trim the fat, you know, very interested in a balanced budget here at JumboCast.
Ethan Zaharoni, who unfortunately couldn't be here today, and I are going to barge right into that room, and we're going to demand that it's our money and we need it now.
Yeah, TCU really is doing a lot of sort of budgeting cuts. Also, speaking of my million... And I need it now. There's this one player in the American Alliance of Football whose Twitter handle is just at JG Wentworth. Like, that's not his name at all. Like, his name is completely different to that.
JG Wentworth.
Yeah. Has anyone watched the AAF?
At JG Wentworth.
A little bit, yeah.
Is the JG Wentworth handle.
Well, no, there's it, well, I'm like going from memory, but there's someone who's like, let me see. AAF.
It's a lot of W's in that logo, I gotta say.
Is it?
Look at that thing. It's just like W after no. W.
I found someone from Humboldt State, Jaquan Gardner.
Yeah. At underscore JG Wentworth underscore 32. Jaquan Gardner.
Maybe his like other one of his other names is Wentworth. You know, could be his middle name or something.
The San Diego Fleet.
But yeah.
I think the AAF is going to stick around, actually.
I think the AAF. I think it would be good for the AAF to stick around.
Yeah. I'm curious. Are we allowed to discuss that on air?
What?
I don't know what the policies are for discussing the latest NFL news that pertains to
I don't think we're
going to
touch the latest NFL news here.
It's still a developing story.
Yeah. We can't discuss that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think we would be able to, but we have 3 minutes left, and it's not really.
I don't think it's in line with WMFO standards.
Yeah, well, it depends on the way that you approach it. But if anyone's interested, Robert Kraft has gotten himself in a little bit of trouble, and it's not football related.
It's not looking good for Robert right now.
Well, it's not looking good for Robert or the bigger names who are also apparently attached to a police sting.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about.
But we'll see. We'll see who gets taken down. Maybe it's Roger Goodell.
Also, Le'Veon Bell is fat. You guys saw that report, but
that he's up to like 260 pounds or something. Where do you think he signs?
The New York Jets.
That would be a Jets move.
as a Jets fan, I do expect to sign Le'Veon Bell.
Also, have you? This is sort of sticking on our pinballing around football news. Has anyone heard about Antonio Brown's new nickname that he wants to have?
No.
Oh, Big Chest.
Antonio Brown wants to now be referred to Mr. Big Chest, and I will not accept that nickname until he legally changes his last name to be Antonio Mr. Big Chest.
I'm actually excited. You know LeBron has that HBO show, The Shop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown's actually going to come on there. I saw you like teased the photo of the guests for like March 1st.
It's Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown has no filter, so I'm excited. I think Anthony Davis is also on there.
Is on there.
Yeah. I feel like that could just be terrible television.
It's really good.
Is it actually good?
I really like it. Yeah, it's like all these guys just give honest opinions and stuff. It's actually very interesting.
That's good, because that's the sort of thing that could just become the most self-indulgent, like, self-promotional thing.
I just remember that LeBron said that he activated playoff mode yesterday, so...
Do you think LeBron has a ritual where he goes into some room in his house and it's just filled?
It's the zero dark 2330 that he does.
There's like
so annoying.
There's a room in his house that is filled with like the powder you put on his hands, and he just like puts on like you know Hyalai scoops.
Yeah.
He like puts those on and like scoops it up and like throws it in the air, and then he has some like strobe lights that go off, and he's like, well.